Veterinary advice on Talk About with Danny the Vet. Brought to you by Pet Mania, Manor West Retail Park, Tralee.
Now, Danny joins us in our Killarney studio. And Danny, you're not alone, I believe.
No, I have my... I've Eamon Walsh with me. I was just going to say Eamon has been working with me for a good few years, but I can't. I don't know exactly. How many years is it, Eamon?
Too many to...
Obviously, he's long-suffering.
Okay, so we've two vets for the price of one today, which is fantastic. Yeah. Eamon, you're very welcome.
Thanks, Deirdre. It's great to have this opportunity to outline the benefets of...
neutering, exactly. And of course we've the same surname, so we're off to a good start anyway.
Actually, yeah, my sister's Deirdre Walsh as well.
Very good. Yeah, there's another one out there.
You're not alone.
Well, listen, before we come to Eamon, Danny, you might just introduce the general topic of neutering, because I know Eamon is going to talk to us specifically about keyhole neutering. But first of all, you might just give us a general bit of advice about why it's important to neuter your pets.
Yeah, there are several reasons. I suppose the first is to prevent unwanted pregnancies, in that if you talk to any of the animal charities, the number of stray dogs that are being, unfortunately, some of them rehomed and some of them euthanized every year, and it's a huge problem. And so basically that would be one of the reasons. One of the other reasons is that just dogs tend to come in heat about twice a year, and they stay in heat for about 3 weeks. And what actually happens is that when a female comes in heat, all the male dogs in the locality within a mile radius congregate around your house, and the female will escape as well. So basically, it's a real nuisance. So that's the second reason. The third reason would be health reasons, in that a lot of females, if they're not neutered when they're young, they're much more prone to mammary tumours like breast cancer when they get older. And the incidence, if they're not neutered, is about 1 in 10 or 1 in 12. So it's quite a high, very common cancer. Now, if they're neutered when they're young, this goes down to 1 in 2,000. So it's a huge health benefit. And the other thing then is, when a lot of older females, they tend to get womb infections called pyometra, which are life-threatening. So another health benefit. And in males, I suppose one of the reasons for doing them is to reduce aggression, but also to stop them wandering, because dogs will travel any distance when a female is in heat, and with road traffic accidents tend to occur, or they tend to be attacked by other dogs. And also it reduces the incidence of cancer in males as well. So there are lots and lots of reasons, and why it's particularly important this time of the year in dogs and cats is that it's now coming into the main breeding season. So your little kitten or your little puppy that you think is only a baby, when it's 6 months old, it's mature, comes in heat, and very often what happens is gets pregnant before people realize it. And then you end up, instead of having one dog to look after, you maybe have five or six, or likewise with cats.
Okay, very good. Well, let's come to Eamon. So, because Eamon, you obviously are performing these neutering procedures on a very regular basis. Can you kind of talk us through, without getting too technical, let's say what is actually involved in neutering a dog? We'll just take a dog, for example.
Okay, with the males, we castrate, so everything's on the outside with males. Males are simpler. We remove the testicles surgically. With the females, then it's more invasive, because the gonads are inside in the abdomen, so we have to do it's major abdominal surgery. So both males and females are done under general anaesthetic, and we remove either the testicles or the ovaries. A lot of vets would still, when spaying, would still remove the uterus. The research has shown that there's no need to remove the uterus if it's healthy. So I think both Danny and myself, for the past, even before we worked together, both of us were just removing the ovaries, which is, it's technically a simpler surgery. It's a safer surgery, because you're tying off two arteries rather than three arteries, you know. So it is a safer surgery. So the both procedures that are their routine, but they're still major surgery. Both of them will be just a day procedure in general. So we get them in the morning. They'll be fasting from the night before. We try and get our surgeries done in the morning, and when the animals recover from the anaesthetic, they go home again in the afternoon.
Okay, so they don't have to spend the night in the vet's place or anything like that?
In general, no. Most of them are fine. With modern anaesthetics and pain relief, they're safe to go home that evening, and most of them make a quick and uneventful recovery, yeah.
And are they a bit out of sorts for a few days afterwards, Eamon?
Usually it might take 24 hours for all the anaesthetics to burn off. So they'll be getting back to normal within a few days of the surgery. With females, it's a bit more invasive, so it can take a bit more out of them if you're doing an open space. So you probably need to restrict them exercise-wise for up to a week, maybe 10 days, and then they can return to normal activity.
And does the whole procedure take very long?
I suppose, the males would be a bit faster, maybe 20 minutes or so. Females would be a bit longer, maybe half an hour, 40 minutes, yeah. Most of them, especially if they're done when they're young, it's a much simpler surgery, faster surgery, so there's less anaesthetic, so it's much safer for the animals. So that's why we'd encourage people to do them when they're young. I suppose research more recently has shown that some breeds of dogs, especially the large and giant breeds, you're probably better off to leave them a bit older before you spay, because I suppose they need to develop skeletally, to be skeletally mature before you spay. So otherwise it can lead to joint problems and so on. So it's safer maybe to leave them a bit older. But I suppose the best thing is to discuss which of vet, what's the best time to spay your pet, yeah.
And is there such a thing as it being too late to get your pet neutered?
No, they can be done at any age, and we'd often castrate them late if they've prostate issues. Females then, if they're, as Danny mentioned, they can get a womb infection, which can be life-threatening later in life, and the only way to sort that out really is to remove the ovaries and the uterus, but that's an emergency surgery. And again, if they've a perimeter, they're compromised, they're in shock. So the surgery itself can be, and the anaesthetic can be dangerous. So you're much better off to spay them when they're young. You're removing less tissue. It's much less invasive, and especially the young animals, like kids, they bounce back, they recover very quickly, yeah.
Mm. Just to come back to Danny for a minute. Danny, why would people not get their animals spayed or neutered?
There's a lot of myths about. One of them is that the most common myth is that you should let them have one heat and that it changes their personality. And they actually, this has been proven with lots and lots of research to be false, in that there's no reason to let them have a heat. And the problem with letting a dog or a cat have a heat is that invariably it's the immaculate conception can occur as well, in that they just wander out and they're pregnant and nobody knows anything about it. But also you end up then with the situation of them being pregnant and having to look after puppies or kittens. And there's quite a lot of work. Anyone who has reared puppies will realize that there's a huge amount of work, and it's a massive undertaking. And we generally would not recommend it. The only reason for not neutering them when they're really young is if you want to breed from them. And really, if you're going to breed from them, you need to be set up for it. And I think it's a lot more complex and a lot more work in it than people realize. And then you have the situation then where you're trying to get homes for the puppies or the kittens. And it never works out. It never works out as people plan. So that would be the recommendation, to do it straight away. And the reason for doing female cats when they're really young, we do them from 4 to 5 months on, is at 6 or 7 months they can get pregnant. And then instead of having to neuter one female, you might have to neuter 5 or 6, because 2 months later you're going to finish up with 5 or 6 more cats. And there's about the problem with stray dogs, the problem with stray cats is in Ireland is out of control, really. So I really think that, and also the other reason for it is that if you do them when they're young, it like as Eamon mentioned, it takes less out of them. And also, you have a much more amenable pet for the rest of your, you know, it's not going to be, you're not going to have to be watching them for 3 weeks twice a year. They're not going to be wandering off getting, you know, to the same extent with road traffic accidents and fights, etc. So it's just a lot better to do them when they're young. And as Eamon mentioned, you know, he was saying the large breeds would be done a bit older, but we're still only talking about 9 months to a year. You know, so definitely the sooner you do them, the better.
A listener's just been on, Danny, to say, to mention that dogs who are part of the kennel club can't be neutered because everything has to be intact for show dogs. But I suppose that's only a very small minority of the dogs we'd be talking about.
Yeah, again, you're talking about show dogs then, and that's a different thing entirely. And I don't know what the percentage is, but it's a minute percentage of people that will be showing dogs, so that is different.
Okay. And as regards female dogs, when they bleed quite regularly when they're not neutered or spayed or whatever the term is, Danny, does that stop once they're neutered then?
Oh, absolutely. It stops. Basically, that can go on for 3 weeks. Sometimes it can even be extended. You get a split heat sometimes the first time, and a lot of pets now are indoors, and that's another reason for getting them done straight away. But it stops that. They no longer come in heat, and you no longer have the issues, you know, that occur with that, or the risks.
Okay. Just a quick question before we go to the break, and we have lots of questions actually, but I'll just put this one first of all because it's about neutering. A listener wants to know the minimum age to neuter a cat after she's had kittens.
You can do them straight away after they've had kittens. There's no issue. So basically, what I would suggest is that you do it pretty quickly because they can come in heat again a month or 6 weeks later. So I would be doing them straight away after they've had the kittens.
Okay, fair enough. Right, Danny and Eamon, stay with us. We have a variety of questions for you. And Eamon, feel free to chime in at any point if you want to help Danny out with any of the answers.
Sure, thanks, Deirdre.
And no doubt we'll have lots of questions about neutering as well. Just to remind people, 083 300 3300 to text or WhatsApp. And you can also phone through your question to Siobhan, who's taking the calls today. 06671.
Veterinary advice on Talk About with Danny the Vet. Brought to you by Pet Mania, Manor West Retail Park, Tralee.
Now, oh, not sure what happened there. We're back anyway, and we've got Danny the Vet with us, and we also have Eamon with us, Eamon Walsh, who joins us from Danny's practice as well. Gentlemen, we've got some great questions for you today, some about neutering, some not. And Danny, we'll start with this one about a rabbit. Are you there, Danny?
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. This listener says, I have a 7-year-old lop rabbit who got an ear infection almost 18 months ago. I know that lops are prone to ear infections. Despite a head tilt, he's doing really well, eating, drinking, etc. But in the last few weeks, he's losing his balance. I'm trying light exercises to help him regain his balance. But is there any medication to speed up the process?
Yeah, there may be. Basically, what's happening there is that this is quite a common thing with ear infections, is if an infection stays in the external ear, you tend to get them, you know, going to one side. But if it actually goes into the middle ear, they lose balance. And what happens then is they don't know which side is up, and they can be lopsided. So that may need to go on some medication. I'd say discuss it with their vet. The other thing I'd like to mention there, Deirdre, as well, before we move on with more questions, is that what we've noticed in the last number of years is that more and more people are actually opting for the laparoscopic or keyhole neutering. And we might just get Eamon to just describe maybe the differences or the advantages. But what we're finding now is that more than 9 out of 10 people actually opt for that. But that's something maybe he might talk about.
Okay, we'll come back to that in a minute or two. I just want to put some other questions first of all. Danny, a listener wants to ask you, what do you feed a hedgehog?
Basically, you can feed them anything really. They can, you know, get, they can get by in human food or cat food. Cat food is quite good, but basically they have a wide, they have a good palate. They can eat lots of different things.
Okay, I'll put this next one to Eamon because it's about neutering. Listener wants to know: is my pup too old to get neutered? He's 18 months.
No, as I said earlier, you can do them at any age. It's just it is easier on them when you do them when they're immature. But we'd often we can do them at any age. So we often need to do older animals for clinical reasons. So yeah, no, it'd be fine. It'd be fine to do them at 18 months. Yeah.
Okay, and Danny said you might describe for us what is different from getting the animal neutered with a laparoscopic neutering.
Yeah, the laparoscopic, it's keel surgery, so it's the same as keel surgery in people. Most people either know someone that has had keel surgery or have had it themselves, and they, I suppose, they recognise the benefits. It's kind of intuitive that, you know, smaller incisions, less painful, but it's not just down to the small incisions. So with the keel surgery, we make two small incisions rather than a relatively large incision for the females into the abdomen. Then we inflate the abdomen, otherwise everything is collapsed down, you can't see what you're doing, and then we put in two little tubes to facilitate putting the instruments in and out, and then we can use a scope then with a camera attached, so we can see everything up on a monitor on a television screen, and everything's magnified, and then we have a special instrument then for it's a electrosurgery unit which we use to resect the ovaries. These instruments are brilliant because, you seal the tissue first, so you seal the blood vessels, and then you cut. So the whole procedure is virtually bloodless. So it's very safe with regard to, much safer than an open spay. You haven't got a big opening into the abdominal space. You seal the vessels completely, so there's little or no blood loss. The risk of hemorrhage or risk of infection is much reduced because you don't have a big opening into the abdomen, and we can check and see that there's no bleeding before we move out of the abdomen, and then we deflate the abdomen when we're done. Once the two ovaries are removed, as I said earlier, we don't need to remove the uterus. I can think of only two animals that I need to remove the uterus. If the uterus is healthy, we leave it behind. Then we close up the abdomen, just a stitch in the body wall, a stitch under the skin, and some tissue glue. So often the animals don't even need to wear a buster collar. They're a bit groggy that evening after the surgery when they go home, but most owners report that by the following day they're probably 95% back to normal. We might still restrict them for a few days just in case they do too much and hurt themselves. So just exercise on the lead out of doors for a few days, and then a lot of people would say that the animals hardly know what happened, you know, that
yeah.
They don't even realise they've had a surgery, yeah.
Okay, very good. Well, that explains the procedure to us very well. Back to more questions. Danny, this one for you. A cat strayed into our house. I'm guessing he's 9 years old or thereabouts. I saw him put his paw to his head and get a seizure. In fact, he...
I think it could be a thrombus. It could be an infection. But to be quite honest, it sounds quite serious. You know, it doesn't sound like a... like the prognosis is very good. But that's something maybe to discuss with the vet. But there are multiple causes of seizures. Now, I suppose the most common cause of seizures, but in much younger animals, 3 or 4, would be epilepsy. That's... idiopathic seizures, it's common, it's very common in dogs, not quite as common in cats, but it does occur, and that's quite amenable to treatment. But when you see seizures in an older animal, you're wondering, is there a metabolic disease, is there a brain tumour, is there a thrombus, is there something, and often it's serious, and the fact that it's happening regularly is also a bad sign. An occasional seizure, if it was once a month or every 2 months, you mightn't take too seriously. You'd probably still medicate it if it was getting more frequent. But when it's regular like that, you would worry.
I'm just going to squeeze in two more, Danny, before we finish up. A listener has a three-year-old lab who keeps shaking her head. The listener says, I cleaned out her ears after putting in ear drops and a lot of brown dirt came out, but she's still shaking her head and sometimes rubs her paw off her ear as well. What might be going on?
Yeah, basically the ear canal is a long canal. And when you clean out the ears, you're cleaning the outside, and if there's an infection deep down in the ear, closer to the eardrum, those need to be flushed out by a vet, because the medicine can't get to the area that's infected. So if it's going on for a while, and that brown stuff, that's wax, and the ear tries to protect itself by producing lots and lots and lots of wax. So if you notice a lot of that brown stuff in the ear, that's an indication that there is something going on at the base of the ear. And if it's not resolving instantly, it needs to go to a vet and they need to flush it out. Sometimes, though, it can be a little bit more serious than that. And you may have a foreign body at the base of the ear. And that would be something, often things like a little grass on or a little piece of a twig. We sometimes find that dogs that swim in the lake and in the they can get tiny little bits of twigs at the base of the ear. That's never going to come out. So basically, when we inspect them with an otoscope, we may have to give them an anesthetic or sedation and use a special instrument to take that out. So I would say that's a case for going to your vet.
One final one, Danny. A listener has a six-month-old Sherpa Doodle. Never heard of that before. It's a therapy dog. She has a black spot on her tongue. What could this be?
It could be just ordinary colouring. They can have all sorts of different colours on their tongue. So if it's been there always, that's exactly what it is. It's just a colour. It's like a spot. If it was raised or elevated or something, you might be more concerned that it could be a tumour. But the most likely thing, I would say, is that it's just genetic and that's there. So if it's not causing any problem, if it's not elevated, that's likely what it is.
Very good. Well, listen, we've got to leave it there. The time goes very quickly, but it was great to get Eamon in as well. Eamon, thank you so much for joining us and giving us all that useful information about neutering.
Not at all, Deirdre. Thanks for having us.
It was a great pleasure. And thanks, as always, to Danny from the All Care Veterinary Practice, who joins us every month around this time for veterinary matters. Gentlemen, we let you both go. Thank you for coming into the Killarney studios. And we'll have more veterinary matters, of course, next month. Now we're